Father, we are grateful that we celebrate the old rugged cross. We celebrate the resurrection, not simply because we believe, but because of all the prophetic truths that were fulfilled in them. Sometimes our belief is simple, without substance. And while it is true that salvation is free and simple, yet it's confound and deep. And we want our faith to be built on that which is deep. Open our eyes, open our ears. May the Holy Spirit do what only the Holy Spirit can do. And we'll thank you for what you accomplish. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, it's one thing to believe, and it's quite another to believe, to really believe. You know, we can take a boat along the side of a cliff, and we can watch people jump, and we can enjoy and celebrate and all of that until we're standing on the cliff and someone says, okay, it's your turn now. Now, I believe it can be done. I've seen it happen. I've celebrated with those who have jumped. I just don't believe. I'm cut out for this. Maybe a parachute would be better. You know, the first time we're in an airplane, not with a static line, when you've got to pull the cord, and you're told to jump. And you may have watched hundreds of skydivers. And yet, when you jump, even if they push you out, you're still safe. I hope it opens, I hope it opens, I hope it opens, I hope it opens. And the sad thing, in churches all over the country like ours, there are individuals sitting in the pews just like we are today. And they will say, I have believed for decades. I have believed since I was a little child. And yet, when the rug is pulled out from underneath them, they're saying, I hope it's true. I hope it's true. I hope it's true. There's a difference between being fully convinced of something and just believing. Have you ever seen a skydiver that's fully convinced that chute's gonna open? I mean, there is no hesitation. They jump out of that good, perfectly sound airplane. And they will do whatever they want to out there. They will do somersaults. They will grab hands. They will do all kinds of stuff, even though they're getting closer and closer to the ground. And they'll just keep having a grand old time because they're what? Fully convinced when they pull that cord, it will be opened. In Romans 4, I'm not going to turn there, but in Romans 4, Paul is talking about Abraham. And Abraham is the father of faith. If we are to have faith, we are to have faith like Abraham. And Abraham was a man who was fully convinced that God was who he said he was, and that God would do what he promised to do. There was no hesitation in Abraham's life. He was fully convinced. And that makes me wonder about me. Now, I understand that faith is a process. I don't think any of us would disagree with that. But faith needs to be a process in our lives. And so I want to walk you through these steps, if I could call them steps. And I want us to kind of ask, where are we in this faith thing? First thing, it's just plain ridiculous. Hey, Abram, I want you to get up and leave your family, leave your friends, leave your security, and just follow me. Where are we going, Lord? It's none of your business. Just follow me.
And so Abraham goes around and he says to his family and to his friends, says, hey, I'm leaving. Where are you going? I have no idea. Why are you going? Well, God told me to. What have you got that you're basing it on? His word. And you know what they said? That's ridiculous. That's ridiculous. They said, say what? Abraham didn't do that. At least we're not told that. Abraham took God at his word, and he was fully convinced that God would do what he said he would do. The next step. We may not be saying, that's ridiculous. You shouldn't do that. Use a little common sense. The next is, it's possible. And that's the faith that says, yeah, I know. I know that's what it says. And yeah, I believe that God is able. It's very possible. But at that stage, we are not fully convinced. There may be some of us sitting here this morning, and if we were posed the question, if we died before the sun went down today, where would we spend eternity? And we would say, well, I have trusted Christ. Yeah. Will you spend eternity with him? I hope so. I hope so. So this is where I believe it. I know it says that. Yeah, but, you know, it's possible. Then there's the next step where it's probable. All right, the hardships come, the difficulty comes, and we hang in there, and, you know, we go through it, and yet we're saying, God, I sure hope you know what you're doing. I sure hope your promises are true. And so we go through them, yet we do not have the joy that we're supposed to have. Count it pure joy, my brethren, when you fall into these diverse things. See, we're not yet fully convinced that God is sovereign. We're not fully convinced that his promises are true. We are not fully convinced that all things work together for good. We're just still hoping they are. Maybe that's where we are. That's not good enough. No, you and I need to be fully convinced the Bible is true. And that if God was to say to you, sacrifice your son, you're not saying, that's ridiculous. You're not saying, yeah, I know, it's possible. It's possible he could raise him up. You're not saying, man, I know he could. I know he can, but, or you take your son up the mountain and you take the wood and you take the fire and you have every intention within you to do exactly what God has said. Why? Because you're fully convinced that God can do it. So where are we? You know, we're going to see in our passage today that Jesus does not, he is not content with his disciples having a superficial faith. I mean, they're celebrating, he's alive. And yet he says, no. You ain't got it yet. He wants them to have a scriptural faith, not a superficial faith, a scriptural faith. And that's what we're going to see. So take your Bibles and go with me to the book of Luke. Luke chapter 24, and I want to pick up in a couple of verses prior to verse 16, and in the verses previous, now we saw where Jesus had appeared to these two individuals that were traveling to Emmaus, and they didn't get it, and then finally, they got it, and so they run back, and when they get back there, they find the disciples in verse 15, understanding some of these things. I'm sorry, verse 27. I better find out where I'm at. Verse 34. And they're saying, the Lord is risen indeed and has appeared to Simon. And then these two guys from Emmaus say, and they told all about the things that Jesus had done, met him on the road,
and breaking of bread. Now verse 36 is where we pick up. Follow with me. Now as they said these things, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and said to them, peace to you. But, verse 37, they were terrified and frightened and supposed that they had seen a spirit. And he said to them, why are you troubled? Why do doubts arise in your hearts? Behold, my hands and my feet, that is I myself. Handle me and see. For a spirit does not have flesh and bones, as you see I have. And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. Verse 41. But, see that? But they still did not believe for joy and marveled. And he said to them, have you any food here? So they gave him a piece of boiled fish and some honeycomb. He took it and he ate it in their presence. In verse 44, he said to them, these are the words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms concerning me. And he opened up their understanding that they might comprehend the scriptures. And he said to them, thus it is written, thus it is necessary for the Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day, and the repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And you are witnesses to these things. Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high. You got all that? They're not yet fully convinced of all of this. So last week, we left them celebrating. He's alive, he's alive. Man, they're just jumping up in all sorts of excitement and enthusiasm. And then today, he shows up, and they think they've seen a ghost. They're frightened. Verse 36 and 37 again. And as they said these things, Jesus himself stood in their midst. He said to them, peace to you. And they were terrified and frightened. What's going on? It's showing us that emotions can't be trusted. It's showing us that some spiritual high that we have at a camp meeting, at a revival service, at a Bible camp, at a youth rally, or whatever it might be that gets us so excited, so enthused, and we are caught up in the enthusiasm, and we might even make some sort of decision because of all the excitement. That's not good enough, as we're gonna see. Faith is not blind. Faith is not blind. We're gonna see that contagious excitement in this passage, but it's not enough. We're gonna see convinced examination to where there are no more buts in our faith. No more. We're fully convinced. And then we're going to see the calm expectation. So first we see the contagious excitement. These guys are excited. They are overwhelmed that Jesus has risen. The two guys on the trip to Emmaus, wow, this is super. This is wonderful. And the others, why, Simon has seen him. They're all excited, but emotions and excitement will not carry us through the hardships. Won't do it. And so if my faith is built on those exciting, enthusiastic, uplifting, blah, 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 whatever, if that's what my faith is built on and nothing less, it won't endure. You've met people, haven't you, that are kind of like roller coasters in their emotions? You know, at one moment, they're way up here. Life couldn't be better. They are celebrating. They're excited. And then all of a sudden, the rug is pulled out from underneath them. They find themselves in a situation that they don't like, they don't appreciate. And their hope is gone. They are about as low as they can be. That's what emotions will do to you. And if our faith is based on how I feel, When the rug's pulled out from underneath you, you're going to doubt your faith. You're going to doubt God exists. And we know of multitudes, do we not, who no longer walk with him because he let them down. That's what emotion's all about. Dan DeWitt, 10 years ago, wrote a book called Jesus or Nothing. Now, this is 10 years ago. But in his book, he reveals that many young adults are abandoning the Christian faith, convinced that the Christian faith is an outdated and an uneducated belief system. How in the world did they draw this together? How are these young people coming to this conclusion that Christianity is outdated and it's just an uneducated belief system? Well, Dan DeWitt shares, many professing Christians, for all practical purposes, live as functional atheists with little regard for God, his sovereign rule in their daily lives. So these young people are growing up in families and in churches where we just talk about these things. And there's really no substance that changes how we approach life. There's going to be mountain peaks and valleys. There's going to be circumstances and trials. And if I am walking by sight and emotions and feelings, I'm going to fall. So what keeps our children in church? Let's not put it just on the children. What keeps us in church? Is it faith or is it fun? Is it sound biblical teaching or is it programs? Is it really the Word of God and the fellowshipping together and helping each other along the way? Or is it the music and the plays and the entertainment? So which is it? Now, there's nothing wrong with faith with fun. I think we can have fun. I like to have fun. But it's got to be the faith. Now remember, the purpose of the church is not to fill the pews. No, we want the pews filled. But the purpose of the church is to build disciples. And disciples are followers of Jesus Christ. And so what really matters is not how many are there Sunday, although that matters, don't get me wrong, but how many are truly disciples, to where they're growing deeper and deeper in their personal faith and their walk. That's really what matters. And so Jesus says to these guys, whoa, whoa, whoa. guys, you ain't got it yet. Look at verse 44. Verse 44, he said to them, slow down. Listen. These are the words which I spoke to you while I was with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms concerning me. What is he saying? He's saying, listen, the complete whole Old Testament speaks of me. This is not some strange phenomenon that a young girl has a baby while she's still a virgin. This is not a surprise that he came to his own and his own received him not. This is not something that just fell by coincidence or happening, that they arrest him and they crucify him and he's buried and he rose. No. Let's go back to Genesis and Exodus and Leviticus and Numbers and Deuteronomy and Joshua and Judges and Ruth and Psalms and Proverbs and Hosea and Joel. And what is our faith built on? Well, it's what my mom and dad believe. It's what my church believes. It's what I was always told. No, our faith should be built on Scripture. You see, Satan believes. Those Jewish people believed. Those people that rejected Jesus and put him on the cross, they believed in God. And they said they believed in the Scriptures. Those people that knock on your doors and want to share with you their faith, they believe.
And many of them have a stronger belief than what we have. Why? They know what they're talking about. And then my faith needs to be built on Scripture. And that's what Jesus does with his disciples. Hold it, guys. Let's come down from the mountain peak. That's not what your faith is built on. And so he walks them through the Old Testament. This is what your faith is built on. This is what Moses was talking about. This is what Isaiah was telling you about. That's why we have strong faith. Not because we just believe, but because this Bible says so. And God has fulfilled prophecy after prophecy after prophecy after prophecy. What are the chances of all these things coming to pass, prophesied hundreds of years before time? Only if God's involved. And so he walks them through the Scriptures. Kent Hughes says, Jesus did not want them to rest their belief in his resurrection on their personal experience alone. He was not interested in their becoming an elite group with a special knowledge of Christ. Resting their faith on a miracle is not sufficient. Oh, if only I believed, or only if I saw, I would believe. No. Kent Hughes goes on to say, he wanted them to ground their experience of his resurrection on the massive testimony and the perspective of Scripture. That's why we believe. That's why I'm a Christian. That's why I make sacrifices and I follow by faith, and you do too. It's not just, I know it's possible. It's not just, yeah, I'm pretty sure it's going to happen. No, our faith is to be fully convinced that God is who he is and who he said he was. Now look at verse 45. This is where it happens. And he, Jesus, opened their understanding that they might comprehend the Scriptures. The NIV said he opened up their minds so that they understood. This is where the light comes on. This is where the light comes on. This is what we have to understand. Each of us need to understand this. The things of Scripture don't make sense to people that don't believe. And until the Holy Spirit opened up my eyes and opened up my ears, it's foolishness. And this is the prayer that each of us need to be praying. You know, we don't go to our Bibles and read it just to get our daily Bible time in. We go to the Scripture saying, oh God, open my eyes that I might see. Open my ears that I might hear. That's where we need to come. I'm afraid that we have so little confidence in the Holy Spirit. We have so little confidence in the Word of God and the power that's found in it that we are somehow convinced that somehow we've got to help someone across the line, whether it be salvation or in discipleship, and so we put our confidence in all kinds of things. Oh man, if just the right celebrity, man, if he just came and shared his testimony, that would do it. I mean, if we could just have a spiritual experience, you know, if I could just speak in tongues or be slain in the Spirit, or if I could just see a miracle or something, that would do it. Or great orators. You know, we don't want Mr. Dry as Dust. You know, I don't care how deep and how sincere and how solid his teaching is. We don't want Mr. Dry as Dust. We want somebody who is able to keep us awake for 30 minutes or 45 minutes so that we can at least somewhat enjoy what we're enduring. Now, we're not looking for great orators. It's not apologetics. It's not trying to win an argument. That's not what brings a person to faith. These are all things that might help, but it's got to be the Holy Spirit working in the lives of these individuals, opening their eyes that they might see, opening their ears that they might hear. It's not the fear factor. You want to go to hell? If you don't pray this prayer, you're going to go to hell, spend eternity down there. You don't want to go there? No, I don't want to go there. Pray this prayer. No, it's not the fear factor, and it's not miracles. You know, Jesus had the audacity to say, No one comes unless the Father draws him. It's the Holy Spirit that convicts me of sin, righteousness, and judgment. It is the Holy Spirit that has to open up my eyes that I might see, that I might hear, that I might believe. And to where I'm no longer saying, that's ridiculous. The Bible says that? Come on. Well, that's possible. it's possible. Yeah, I'm pretty sure. I'm pretty confident. No. God wants you and me to be fully convinced. Fully convinced. Paul says in Romans that faith comes. How are we going to have faith? How is it that faith is going to not only come but develop within me? Faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. I need to be placing myself under the teaching and the preaching of God's word. I need to place myself in times of just solitude where I spend time with God and his word, and I am seeking him and I'm praying that the Holy Spirit helps me to truly grasp this stuff. Faith is something that only God can do. And Jesus wants the disciples to get that. And so he opened their understanding that they might comprehend the scriptures. And he said to them, look, guys, this is what the Bible talks about. It shouldn't shock you that I rose from the dead. It shouldn't shock us that Jesus was born of a virgin. It shouldn't shock us that Jesus is the God, man, fully God. And these truths shouldn't shock us. God said it, and that settles it. Remember, God said it, I believe it, and that settles it? No. God said it. That's it. The Bible's teaching. This is coming from our doctrinal statement. We've got a couple that are going to be joining the church this morning, Lord willing, if I get done in time and I remember. But this is what they have to agree to. We believe that the Bible's teachings are absolute in authority and supreme and final in all matters of doctrine, faith, and life. Not, I'm pretty sure that's true. It's very possible. No. It's not, yeah, I'm pretty convinced that's it. No. Now, what we're saying is we believe that the Bible truly is God's final authority. And then the last thing we see in this passage, now that they fully understand, their eyes are open, their ears can hear, and they understand the Old Testament. Jesus has made it clear. They can see how it all comes together now. He says to them in verse 49, behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city in Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high. In a sense, he says, now just wait here. All right, you got it now, but just wait here. And they were told away. It was going to be about 10 days. Pentecost was going to come. They would be filled with the Holy Spirit. And they'd go out and they would turn the world upside down. And you and I must learn to trust and to wait on God when we don't understand what's going on either. We need to have that same confidence. So when the rug is pulled out from underneath us, we're still standing. Why? Because we're fully convinced that he'll make all things beautiful in his time. So the difference between being believing and being fully convinced, we've got to dive into the word. We've got to get into it. And we need to believe that God is able to do what he says he can do. Do you believe? No, I'm not just asking you if you believe. I'm asking you, are you fully convinced that if God took you home today, you know you would spend eternity with him? If you're hoping that what you did when you were a child, or hoping that you've been living a good enough life, no. You need to be fully convinced. There is only one way. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. And we need to just fall before him and say, God, I am a sinner. I have failed you. But I want to be forgiven, and I know that Jesus is my only hope. I would never be able to earn your acceptance. He's my only hope, and I place my trust completely and totally in him and in him alone for my salvation. That's what he's looking for. If you're not there, if you weren't there yesterday, I hope you are right now. Let's pray. Father, I pray that you would help us to be individuals that are fully convinced that the Bible is your word. It is your revelation. You breathed it. This is not some book that men put together. Holy men were moved by the Holy Spirit and they penned these words. It is your very breath. And within it is our security and our hope of eternal life. And I would pray for each one here that they're no longer hoping, that they're fully convinced that Jesus is their only hope. And if there's anyone here that has questions, Lord, I would be glad to try to answer them. Sit down with them, open the Bible, and to show them these great truths, we pray in Jesus' name, amen.